Welcome to SwampSwami.com, sports commentary and more. And it's time for our weekly Sweep the Swampcast episode for Saturday, March 23rd, 2019. First, let's check Swamp Swami's NCAA men's bracket. After the first 2 days and 32 games, I do have 24 wins. That's 75%, and I sit in ninth place in my former employer's contest. That's not too bad, but Iowa State's loss last night really is going to hurt me as I pick them to win 3 games. Oh! Speaking of great pickers, there's Charles Barkley, whose success in picking rivals my own 0 for forever in selecting a winner. He has selected Florida State, North Carolina, Virginia, and Michigan State to punch their tickets to Minneapolis. The Virginia Cavaliers, who almost lost again yesterday in the first round, he said will lift the coveted trophy when the games conclude on April 8th. Well, Chucky, we'll see. So that's where we stand on the men's bracket as of today. And also, the women's NCAA tournament is now underway. And after my daughter-in-law asked me if I was going to select those games, I figured, hey, why not? I can't do any worse than I do in the men's tournament, where I'm now 0 for 40 years and counting on picking a winner. And on the ladies' side, let's give you a brief update on that one. I realize that Baylor is undefeated in the ladies' side of the brackets, and UConn is always in the Final Four, right? So I picked Baylor, Mississippi State, Notre Dame, and Maryland, a number 3 seed, to advance to the Final Four on the ladies' side, with Baylor and Maryland in the finale. Since I love upsets, I'm going to take Maryland to take down Kim Mulkey's Baylor Bears in a huge upset and win the ladies' championship. I just can't help myself with picking upsets. Let's go to pro basketball. James Harden, 61 points in the Rockets' 111-105 win against San Antonio last night. Harden went absolutely bonkers in the first quarter of the game with 27 points on 7 of 10 shooting, and in typical Rockets style, they almost let the game get away from them in the end. The Rockets trailed 100-94 with just 4 minutes left, then they went on a 13-2 run to regain the lead. And in that stretch, James Harden hit 3 straight 3-pointers and 2 jumpers to score all of Houston's points. With the win, Houston is now about a game ahead of Portland for the 3rd seed in the NBA Western Conference. After the game, Harden said, "Well, I just knew how important this game was. It was an opportunity for us to take care of our home, so I wanted to come out with aggressiveness." Well, he certainly did that as he topped the 50-point mark for the 8th time this season. That's more than everyone else in the NBA has done this year. Wow. Harden is the primary reason for Houston's chances in the postseason. Unfortunately, the team won't go very far in the postseason if just one man scores half of the team's points in every game. Remember, the Rockets play in that same conference as the defending champions, Golden State. The one-man scoring machine in Houston is not going to be able to stop a tidal wave from Golden State, or even Denver for that matter. And the rest of the Rockets need to step up their scoring vacations, come back from vacation, and give Harden some help soon. But the Rockets are playing some good basketball. And unfortunately, in NBA, there's some very sad news this morning. The NBA's TV partners are all in mourning today as the Los Angeles Lakers and LeBron James have officially been eliminated from the playoffs as they lost to the Brooklyn Nets last night. LeBron did have 25 points and 14 assists in the loss. For the playoffs this year, folks, no LeBron. TV ratings, it's like Tiger Woods. We'll see what happens with no LeBron in the playoffs. In football, the AAF, let's give you an update on the AAF, Association of American Football. And after 6 games out of their 10-game regular season, the Orlando Apollos and their coach Steve Spurrier continue to dominate the East with a 5-1 record. Right behind them, the Birmingham Iron trail at 4-2. Johnny Football, Johnny Manziel, he's signed with Memphis. The team is a very sad 1-5, but Manziel hasn't hit the field yet. He better hurry up because the season's over after 10 games. And out in the West, the San Antonio Commanders are now leading at 4-2 with the San Diego Fleet ready to sink San Antonio's battleship as they wait at 3-3 along with the Arizona Hotshots. And other than the Johnny Football news, the big AAF news of the week was a very surprising move of the league's championship game from Las Vegas to Frisco, Texas. Frisco? Well, wouldn't you know it, the stadium near Dallas is owned by none other than Jerry Jones himself of the Dallas Cowboys. This is kind of a curious move, going from a stadium in Las Vegas to a small field in Frisco, Texas. with a big drop in seating capacity. We're talking three times here, like from 36,000 seats in Vegas to 12,000 in Frisco, Texas. Well, here's what old JJ had to say. He said, "The Alliance has built a foundation of high-quality football, revolutionary technology, and world-class partnerships with the NFL, CBS, and Turner Sports. It was only natural that we at the Cowboys organization would want to join that great group of partners. I have always believed that our great game of football could use a league to give players the shot they needed to make it to the NFL. We are proud to be able to host the inaugural championship game." Wow. Let's read between the lines here. The attendance at many of the AAF venues has struggled to reach more than 15,000 fans. If the league's version of the Super Bowl is going to be played in a city which doesn't even have a team in the league, can you imagine how few people might show up in the stands for a game if, let's just say, two of the league's poorest draws are involved? I guess the optics will look better if 10,000 people show up in a 12,000-seat Crackerbox Stadium for the league's finale. Anyone want to bet that Jerry Jones won't be more involved in the AAF next season? Me either. Stay tuned. And while we're talking about football, the NFL is sitting back and quietly considering several changes for you next season. Let's check out some of those that they're thinking about. Number one, a one-year experiment that would involve more instant replay. More replay. Under this proposal from the competition committee, instant replay would be expanded for a period of 1 year. And during that year, the list of reviewable plays would be expanded to include fouls on pass interference. How about that, Saints fans? The rule proposal would also expand automatic replay reviews to include scoring plays and turnovers negated by fouls, and any extra point attempt following a touchdown, whether it's a kick or a two-point conversion. Well, if that's not enough, the Washington Redskins, want to make everything reviewable. Under their proposal, all plays that occur during the game could be subjected to a coach's challenge or review by the officiating department in the instant replay system. Before you poo-poo that idea, I actually think that one does have some merit if you basically take all the replays and put them in the hands of the coaches and say, okay, coach, you've got two replays per game. You can throw the flags whenever you want to for any play for any reason. I think that's much better than having these replay after replay from the booth for whatever reasons. I think it should be in the coach's hands and not in the referee's hands for replays. That's just my opinion. Another rule change under consideration is the no more blindside blocks. That seems common sense to me, and then the team would be penalized 15 yards. I think that one will be approved. Also, another idea on the table is the coin flip is likely out as a decider in the NFL draft tiebreakers. So let's say that your team and somebody else's team finishes with an 8-8 season record, and the draft is coming up. Well, who picks in front of the other guy? Sometimes it was a coin flip, and that kind of made for some excitement, but it looks like they're going to go to some type of net touchdowns or net points as a tiebreaker for the NFL draft. The Kansas City Chiefs want to revamp the overtime rules. Well, you know, the Chiefs did lose in overtime to New England, and they want to see the overtime change so that both teams get an opportunity to possess the ball at least once in overtime, even if the first team scores a touchdown like New England did. Chiefs have also proposed one other good idea. They want to eliminate overtime completely in all preseason games. Hallelujah with that one, Kansas City. The Denver Broncos, they want to stop the onside kick. And under the Broncos proposal, instead of an onside kick after a team scores, they would have an option of taking the ball at their own 35-yard line and trying to convert a 4th-and-15 play. If they get the 15 yards, they get a first down and keep possession of the ball at midfield. If they don't get the 15 yards, the other team takes over on downs wherever the possession ended. That is right off the AAF rule books there, and it sounds like the new league is having some influence on the NFL. We'll see what happens with these rule changes, if any of them be implemented at the beginning of next season. And finally today, 45-year-old Ichiro Suzuki retired from Major League Baseball this week. One of the most efficient hitters ever and a fantastic defensive outfielder with blinding speed, Ichiro played his final game on Thursday for the Seattle Mariners in a game against Oakland over in Japan. He didn't get a hit during the last game, but he left to a huge ovation in the 8th inning at the Tokyo Dome. Ichiro had a career hitting average of 311 in 18 seasons. He won 10 gold gloves and an MVP in his rookie season, and that's just after he came to America at the age of 27. We'll have more on Ichiro next week. Now it's time to go watch some basketball. Have a great weekend, everyone, and we'll see you soon.